Grace, mercy, and peace be unto
you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have seen one of them during the last Super Bowl. They've become popular in the last year's baseball season. They no doubt appear at other times as you're watching live TV at home. It's a kind of commercial. Starts off by showing various people in a multitude of settings and situations. Now, some of the people you will certainly resonate with, but others are certainly different than you and me. Are rich and poor, black and white, Asian, Hispanic, tattoos and piercings, suits and dresses. Rough neighborhoods are depicted right along with pristine suburbs. You wonder, the whole time, what is the point of all of this? What is this commercial getting at? Finally, the words appear. He gets us. Now, if you know those words, seen those commercials, seen it on the backstops at baseball games, you know they come from a kind of Christian movement. You cannot help but feel some sense of comfort, even pride, at this presence of such an attention-grabbing commercial that has at its root a Christian idea. So the ultimate idea there is that Jesus is the one who gets all of us. Well, certainly many throughout the world do not believe that there is a God at all. Many others do believe, however, there is some type of higher power. But truly, he is a God far off. He is up there, far above, and we are down here going through all of our struggles and our strifes, the difficulties of this life. And so many find themselves disenchanted with such a notion of God. But Jesus is depicted as different. He is not one far off. In fact, he actually lived here. He experienced this life as we know it. He even faced hardship, persecution, injustice. This is a God that people can relate to. And those commercials strive to get their viewers to a website to find out more information about this idea of Jesus. How many actually follow through and do that remains a mystery, but that idea of Jesus getting us is good, but it is lacking. Jesus has done more than just arrive here into this world to try to understand mankind. Jesus did not stop in for a time to check on us and let us know that he's on our side, that he gets who we are. Jesus actually came here to save mankind, to restore us to our former perfection and glory, and even more, to become one with us. Our reading for tonight from Hebrews chapter 1 truly portrays that. And it is a most wonderful and beautiful text. While that human author of the book of Hebrews remains to us a mystery, his audience is fairly clear. The author is clearly writing to those from a Jewish background, from amongst the Hebrew people. More than anyone else, with their great and their rich Old Testament history, the Jews should have been expecting all along the incarnation of God's beloved and eternal Son. However, much attention, the first part of the book of Hebrews especially, is given to angels. Angels have always been an object of fascination with mankind. We usually see them portrayed as powerful beings with very big wings, even halos shining upon their heads. They're often depicted in bright robes with great majesty about them. And sometimes artists will even depict their innocence by making those angels infant-like. And we do get a brief description of the holy beings in Isaiah chapter 6, his vision of heaven, as we see the seraphim and the cherubim with six total wings. Angels, throughout the scriptures, we see taking on a variety of assignments from God, that of being messengers to God's people, guardians for the chosen ones of Israel, warriors against the forces of evil, and even worshipers of God, offering up his praise and thanksgiving. We know, too, from the scriptures that Satan is a fallen angel, now to be known as the head of those who have fallen away. Michael is depicted as the archangel, the one who binds Satan forever. Thoughts then tend to go to those beings, to angels as the champions, the ones that we desire most to have here in our midst. Yet Hebrews chapter 1 does the work of putting that idea, that theory, to bed. None of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." None of the angels ever heard God say unto them that he would be a father to them. There is never a time when angels owe worship to any other angel. It is only the Son of God, the Son of God who hears such words, who has that unique description. The Son of God is Lord of Sabaoth. Sabaoth being the Hebrew word for hosts or armies, the king over all of the angels. The Son of God, according to Hebrews 1, is the one who has laid the foundation of the earth, the very beginning. It is the Son of God who is the same, whose years have no end. The Son of God sits at the right hand of the Father until all of his enemies are made his footstool. Is the Son of God, who is appointed the heir of all things, and he is the radiance of the glory of God. The Son is the exact imprint of God's holy nature. And the Son of God upholds all things, the entirety of the universe, by the very word of his great power. And it is not until well into Hebrews chapter 2 that the author reveals the identity of this Son of God. But we see him, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering and death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. The Son of God has taken on our human nature. He has become one with us. Jesus more than gets us. Jesus is us. Jesus did not become an angel to save the angels. He became a man to save mankind. An ancient church father once preached, what Christ did not assume, Christ cannot save. So Christ has taken on the identity of mankind to save mankind. After all, it is man alone who was created in the very image of God, as Genesis chapter 1 so clearly states. Of course, angels are truly remarkable, and they are great beings. They are powerful messengers of Almighty God, and they serve as guardians and protectors of all of mankind. Yet they are still creations of God. And as we know from Satan and the demons, angels were, for a time, able to fall into sin. No angel, therefore, is powerful enough to save all from sin. No creation of God can ever provide a remedy for sin. God alone has that power. God alone can forgive sins. God alone can declare a sinner to be righteous. God alone can declare the state of an unrighteous being as his own dear and righteous child, making them heirs of his glorious kingdom. It is God alone who must come to rescue us from all sin and from all death and from the power of the devil. And that is exactly what God Almighty has promised all along to do through the death of his own dear Son. The offspring of the woman must indeed crush the serpent's head. And as such, he must be both God and man. And we are reminded again, even now in the midst of the season of Lent, of the vitality, the significance of the birth of Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. God being made man is essential for our salvation. Jesus' baptism there in the Jordan River confirmed him as God's beloved Son and marked him by the power of the Holy Spirit as the anointed one, the Christ set apart for the work of all salvation for mankind. The Lord Jesus then took on our identity, the new Adam in the stead of the old Adam, to be our perfect substitute, our perfect sacrifice upon the cross. As Adam was tempted, as Israel was tempted, so Jesus was tempted. He is not a God who is far off, but rather the one true God who is near to his people. And he loves to be near to his people, drawing near to his people again and again, as he does now, through the Word and the sacraments. For the Lord Jesus knows you. He knows your every need, and he sympathizes with all of your struggles. For he has been tempted in every way as we are, and yet he has never sinned. God sent no angel to our race of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. Jesus has done that, worn the very robe of human frame, your own human nature for you, for your salvation. What's more, he continues to wear that very robe of human frame. For Jesus remains fully God and fully man. Even now, there is one man, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says. So all thanks and praise be to God who has made his glory known in his Son, the one who has and continues to wear the very robe of our human frame, as he does so now and for all of eternity. For in Christ Jesus, that image of God has been restored once again to you. And you will live and you will reign with Christ in his kingdom forever. That is Christ's work and his promise for you. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and into life everlasting. Amen.